This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, November 2nd. Halloween is behind us. It is November 2nd, 2023. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. I'm going to go around the room here and introduce this cast of characters that we have on this show like I do every week. We are back to regularly scheduled programming this week. Jason is back off assignment. From the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine, Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, welcome back, sir.
Good to be back.
Better week this week?
Yes, much
better. Excellent. Good to hear that. And from the Rob the Genius podcast, the man that I have just completely forgot his entire intro because I have had a horrible week. I podcasted last night, podcasting tonight. We're going to be podcasting all week. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, the man with the golden shovel, and Ray Cash's daddy. It is Rob. Welcome to the show, sir.
Good to be back.
I hope Ray Cash hears that one. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, go back and listen to the last 2 weeks' episodes of the DWI Podcast. Jason, Rob, and myself were on there. Last week, we did some trivia with AJ and a few other guys, PC Tunney, Ray Cash was on there, and Ray and Rob continued their rivalry. It was a good time. A good time was had. And then last night, that episode should air, I think, on Friday, the DWI podcast. Rob and I were on there again. We did some more trivia for the DWI's 400th episode. We had a blast on there. Chris Platt came back on. AJ was there. DPP. Dave the lawyer was on there. We had a blast. We talked a little bit of Crown Jewel. We're going to do that tonight. But Rob, sorry, I stepped all over you there. How are you, bud?
Oh, not too bad. Can't complain. And look, it's always good to get a victory on trivia, especially over Ray.
Rob went 2 weeks straight winning trivia, didn't you?
Oh no, I didn't win last week. I won this.
I thought you won last week. Who won last week?
No, last week I almost was there, but.
Was it DP? Did DP win?
I think so.
Yeah, I think DP may have won. So, yeah, he won. But anyway, it was a good time. Go check those out, man. We had a lot of fun with those guys. Trivia with AJ is always fun. I was horrible. I completely phoned it in last on trivia because I genuinely, say for one thing, I didn't know any of the answers. It was like the worst trivia ever for me. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. We are going to kick things into high gear tonight. We are talking Crown Jewel WWE over in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia this weekend. We got a lot to talk about. And then when we're done with that, we're going to, you know, we're just going to kick some random stuff around. We have no real agenda tonight. We're going to call it in the ring and have some fun. So I'm going to kick.
I've just stumbled across a quote here that you guys might find interesting.
Rob, hit us with it.
All right. This is John Cena talking about Randy Orton. It says, Randy is my generation Shawn Michaels. He has an understanding of nuance, the best timing of anybody, and shows emotion as a performer. He's incredible. He makes it simple. What do you guys think about that?
I read that earlier today, and I had had it in my head to bring that up, and thank you for doing that because it fell right out of my head. I'm gonna cook on that for a minute. Jason, you got any thoughts?
No, because I'm not going to argue at all. I can't really find any lies in the things the guy's saying, and he's obviously been in the ring with him more than, you know, a few times.
He's been in the ring with both of them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so he, of all people, he would know. So, no, Randy's a hell of a performer. So, yeah, yes, correct.
Yeah, Rob?
I think what's long been understood, I think, by a lot of people, that Randy excels at stuff that internet nerds don't necessarily notice.
Right. Yeah.
And that's, so when people like John say that about Randy, it makes sense. Because Randy doesn't do 50 million flip-y-do things. And yeah, I mean, there's stuff just that if that's all you're looking for, then you're going to just miss things about how he works in the ring. And look, again, it's coming from John. So I'm not here to argue with John Cena on this one. So
yeah,
I'd say there's only two guys on this planet that have said yes to Brock Lesnar busting them open the hard way with his elbows across their foreheads. So, and Randy's one of them.
I have a complicated wrestling fandom with Randy Orton. Now, when Randy Orton was a rookie, I saw what they wanted out of him. I was willing to give it a chance. About 2 years in, I checked out on Randy Orton. I'm like, I'm just not feeling this. This guy ain't for me. And it was also around that time where Austin was about to retire. The Rock was moving on. The Undertaker was getting older. and much like John Cena, I saw Randy as a filler for those guys. And this was more me being a gatekeeping fan and not understanding just how good that guy was going to be. I mean, they were even calling him the Viper at one point. I'm like, okay, we've got the Rattlesnake, we've got the Viper. What are we doing here? This is a surrogate, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm not here for it. Years later, after I checked out of WWE, checked back in, much, much bigger fan and much more appreciation for what Randy Orton does in that ring now, as I've peeled back what I think I know and actually just watched him in the ring. The number one thing John Cena hit the nail on the head about was his timing. There ain't a better wrestler in the ring today. I mean, I know Randy's been off, you know, out with an injury for about a year now, but there ain't a wrestler currently going that has as good a timing as Randy Orton. And I can go back to certain points in time and point that out to you. There was one where, was it Paul London who did the Shooting Star Press and Randy hit him with the RKO?
It was either him or Evan Bourne.
It was Evan Bourne. It wasn't Paul London. It was Evan Bourne. Evan Bourne, just the timing on that was impeccable. There was another one where he was in the ring against, it was a tag match, and the segment was, at the time, it was him and Heath Slater. Heath Slater had tagged in. Heath was going to slingshot himself over the rope to get in there, and Randy just caught him in that just beautiful power slam that he does. And the timing on it was absolutely impeccable. Right. And that's when I really started to pay attention to what Randy was doing in there. He's also the king of letting a moment breathe. Nobody lets a moment breathe like Randy Orton. That dude will do something. He knows how to emote
so perfectly. Like, and he knows how those to moments.
Yeah.
He like, sorry to cut you off, but like, that's one of my favorite things about him, is like when certain guys are like getting a, you know, giving a guy a 10-second breather, or just letting, hey, with something big just happened, let's let that go. Let's let that vibrate. And he just, the way he, a lot of guys will just stand there, or they'll just glower, or they'll, you know, they'll basically pause in the moment.
Yeah.
And he emotes, and he shows you like what he's thinking in that moment. It's very cool. Sorry.
He takes the energy of the crowd in that. Like, he'll hit a move and then he'll stop. And he'll let the crowd digest what he did, just did. And even though, if you know the next move that's going to, so he doesn't just hit him with the, like that DDT that he does. Well, he's got the, I forget what he calls it. He's got the feet dangled on the second rope, and he does the DDT. He doesn't just get right back up and do another move. He stops. He looks around. He draws the energy from the crowd. You know what I just did, and you know what's coming next. But I'm not going to do it until you let me know that you know what's coming next. And then he throws that energy, radiates that energy back out in the crowd, and then goes to the next thing. And I think it's absolutely amazing. He talked about that on the Broken Skull sessions with Steve Austin. Steve was talking about I think it was a ladder match with him and John Cena. And they were right down to the end, and Cena's laying down on the mat, and Randy Orton's about, it's literally, he's at the top, you reach up, you grab the belt or the briefcase or whatever it was in the moment, and you take it down. And Steve looked at him. He's like, there's a point where you stop, and you could have had it. You could have just reached up, snatched it off, and been the winner. He's like, you stopped, and you looked down at John Cena, and then you went back up and grabbed the belt. And it's little stuff like that that Randy does. And Randy explained that. He's like, yeah. He's like, you got to make them want it. And so many guys in this business are in such a hurry to get to the next move that they don't make the crowd want it. And yeah, some of it's cool shit. You know, some of the moves are pretty hot and they're pretty neat and they're pretty athletic, but there's no emotion to it. And I feel like when Randy's gone, when he's done, that's going to be a lost art if somebody else doesn't pick that up.
And I don't even know if I want to call it the best or whatever, but in my professional opinion, the coolest power slam in the game. So yeah, that guy's,
for my money, it's the best. I mean, I haven't, obviously there's thousands of wrestlers wrestling on the indies who I've never seen. So there may be somebody out there doing it just as well, but I know Cody tries it and it ain't as good.
Yeah.
There's a few other people that have tried it and it ain't as good. I mean, Dustin Rhodes has got a pretty good one. Goldust is pretty damn slick and his timing on it is really good. But off the top of my head, the only one that I can, Randy Orton for me is top of the list on that snatch.
Yeah,
I'd say Cody's slam. A second though, because Cody puts a little more power into it, and Randy just has more. What's it? Snap, and it looks cooler.
And you know what? Bobby Eaton did it really well.
Yeah. Believe it or not, depending on who was taking it, the Ultimate Warriors looked pretty good too. Like, if he was taking it on somebody who knew how to take the bump, he could arch himself and throw himself into it enough where it looked pretty impressive. He hit Owen Hart with one time that was really good, but it's Owen Hart taking it.
Yeah.
Sting had a pretty good one back in the day, too. Yeah. So we're talking power slams. Anyway, Sting.
Sting, yeah.
Yeah, Lex Luger did, too, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Anyway, we weren't talking power slams and we were talking Randy Orton, but we weren't.
No, but that was a nice little detour, and I'm glad Rob brought that up. Because Randy's a good discussion. I mean, one day when he retires, you know, if this is still a thing, we should really have a really good Randy Orton discussion.
Oh, one could be had, for sure.
All right. Well, Jason, let's get into Crown Jewel, buddy.
Yeah. All right. So we have, starting off the show, we have a pre-show match of one Sami Zayn versus JD McDonagh. And I don't know, is there a condition like JD's actually going to get in the Judgment Day, or is he just, you know, he's just faffing about?
No, this is the Get Sammy on the Show match here.
Yeah, well, there you go. So yeah, Sammy's going to win, obviously. I don't think we're going to go long on that guy. Rob?
Yeah.
Rob, I'll kick it over to you.
Yeah, sorry. I think, in particular, you know, given how kind of the relations of gotten better, it's actually now, you know, Sammy is probably somebody that they actually want on the show now.
Yeah.
You know, now that he's allowed in the country.
Yeah.
Um, And he was such a big hit there at the, was it Night of Champions? So, yeah, I think it wouldn't surprise me if they asked for him, you know. But, yeah, this is, I think, you know, this is to get him on the show, and it's also to have them both in the building if some shenanigans go down later on in one of the other matches.
Yeah, good point. Deej?
Yeah, I expect a good match. I expect a good showing out of JD McDonagh. Obviously, he's, you know, one of Hunter's boys, and he's somebody that he's hoping will make a connection one way or another with the crowd enough to make something out of him. He's an incredible worker. I like watching JD McDonagh work. Whether or not he's going to get over as a character is still to be determined. but yeah, this still feels kind of like, you know, one, we've got Sammy over here because we may need him for something later, but let's get him on the card because they want him there.
Yeah, I agree. So pop the crab match, and I love it. Nobody better for that than Sammy. So next up, let's go with, we have Cody Rhodes taking on Damian Priest. I mean, this, it all depends on, I don't know. I feel like this is going to be Cody because, you know, another pop the crowd kind of moment, and Damian will be just fine, and he's got the money in the bank, and, you know, we could keep on trucking unless there's some sort of, you know, Judgment Day interference. But I look for Cody to win this one. DJ?
Yeah, I called differently on the DWI podcast last night, but they asked me first. I gave my opinion. I thought it was going to be Damian Priest. But there's also several things that could go on later on in the night. So I think Cody wins this one.
Excuse me, Rob?
Yeah, me and DJ look just like, don't
worry. We do.
It's
the haircut, Rob.
Yeah, of all people, you should know I don't see color. Come on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think Cody wins, and I think, yeah, this is another match to get people on the card and also to have them in the building for, you know, something later. And I'll get to that when we get to one of the later matches. But there's a certain thing that, you know, I think needs to happen on this show. And I think that's why both of these guys are there.
Okay. So next up, we've got a singles match. I just lost my place. There you go. John Cena and Solo Sikoa. I don't see much of a chance of John Cena losing this one. And I think this is John Cena paving the way to Team John Cena versus Team Bloodline or something like that at Survivor Series, or, you know, some sort of John Cena Roman Reigns showdown. Maybe do that again. I don't know, but you know, it's John Cena. Of course he's going over. Deej?
Yeah, I think John Cena goes over. I do like this match. And again, I talked about it a little bit on the DWI podcast. It's a great callback to John Cena and Umaga's feud, you know, about a decade or so ago. Absolutely incredible blood feud between the two of them. So there's history here already built in. I love that they're kind of playing off that a little bit. I expect a really good fight here. But I also like what they're doing with John Cena's story right now is, you know, have I still got it? You know, and I think that at his age, that's a reasonable story to start telling. You know, that's a question we can ask. It's like, okay, he's what, 45, 46, something like that, John Cena is? I know he's early mid-40s. And, you know, he's on that other side of the mountain going downhill. And not that he's obviously in better shape on his worst day than I am on my best day. But as a wrestler at this point in his career, he's starting to ask that question. They're like, you still got it? And he's like, well, what if I don't? And I love that.
46.
46. Okay. So I was close. I was in the ballpark.
You're right.
I love that. You know, with him just looking at the crowd and saying, you know, what if I don't still got it? I need to know. And I think that's great storytelling.
All right, Rob.
Yeah, I think he wins it here. Because I mean, he's got to win something, right? We're kind of at that point with him. You can't even lose every time he goes out there for a singles match. Now he's got to win something. So I think this is the one for him to win.
And it doesn't hurt Solo at all.
No.
No. All right. So next up, we've got the WWE Women's Championship match. For we have the champion Io Sky with, of course, Damage Control in tow versus Bianca Belair. Yeah, I don't think we're putting the belt back on Bianca yet. I'm sure her next championship is somewhere around the corner, as deservedly, and it should be. But anyway, I think this is just going to be a straight up, you know, you can call it as soon as the match starts. Io is going to win via some sort of interference, whether that interference almost costs her the title and then she wins anyway, when we go backwards in that thing with her and Bayley, or, you know, it's just straight up bad guy outsmarts the good guy and we're out of here. But I think Io is going to walk away with her championship. Rob, what do you think?
All right, this is where I make my wild and crazy prediction.
Whoa.
Okay, Io is going to keep the title, but it will not be because of Bayley. It will be because of Kairi Sane.
Mm.
Okay.
You know, because
she's going to join Damage Control?
Yes, and I'm saying she joins Damage Control. Remember, she and Io were tag team partners in NXT, so there's that. Even though she did feud with Bayley previously, you could very easily
Bayley kicked her out of the company.
Yeah, well, Bayley ran her out of territory.
Yeah, but you could very easily explain that Io called her and, you know, didn't ask Bayley for permission.
and that
could add to the tension in the group, you know, because they need another member, because right now, you know, I mean, Dakota can't get in the ring yet. She's not cleared. So you have two women who can fight, Bayley and Io, against five who have a problem with them.
Yeah.
You know, Bianca, Charlotte, Asuka, Shotzi, and Zelina all have issues with Damage Control. And we're kind of getting to the point, logic-wise, where you just say, well, why don't the five of them just come out there and four of them beat the shit out of Bayley, and then whoever's in the ring with Io can win the title.
Yeah.
We're kind of getting to that point now. So they need somebody else to even things up a little bit. Or else, this is going to stop making sense very quickly.
Yeah.
All right. Deej?
Yeah. I like Rob's scenario. I like his booking. I think that would be a really neat thing. And it makes sense because, again, we are getting down to the wire. And if there's going to be a women's War Games match, and if any combination of the women that he mentioned are going to be in that match, we gotta pad the other side. You know, because there ain't no way that those two girls are going up against, you know, the likes of Charlotte and Asuka and Bianca Belair and Shotzi Blackheart and Zelina Vega. Although I think Zelina Vega in a War Games match would be absolutely incredible.
Sign me up.
But, there's got to be – we've got to pad the other side here. And so I like that idea. Either way, I don't see this title changing hands on Saturday.
All right. I think we're all in agreement there. All right. So then we're going to go over to – we had the other Women's World Championship match. Quick shout out to those people who said it was just PR. They're never going to have a women's match ever in Saudi Arabia. Quick shout out to you people. Stick it up your butt. Anyway, Fatal 5-Way match for the Women's World Championship. We have the champion Rhea Ripley defending against Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark, and Raquel Rodriguez. Rhea's not losing her championship in Saudi Arabia. Rob.
First of all, I think, you know, for all of you people on the internet, you need to say thank you to Nia Jax for reviving the energy in the Raw Women's Division. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just wasn't there before she came back, folks. And, you know, you can deny it all you want, but this thing is a lot more interesting with her in there. But they put five women in the match to stack the odds against Rhea, and one of those women is in that match to take the pin, and I believe that's Zoe Stark. So, I think Rhea hangs on here.
Okay. Deej?
I am really looking forward to this match. One, because we've got a couple of powerhouses in there in Nia Jax and Raquel Rodriguez. Is it Rodriguez or Gonzalez? Which one is she going by?
She's Rodriguez.
She's Rodriguez now. Okay, I got so used to calling her Gonzalez. It's Rodriguez. I'll try. Double R. That's it. That's how I'm going to remember it. Double R. Raquel Rodriguez. Got it. Now it's locked in. It's in my memory. A couple of powerhouses
Rodriguez
there.
Rodriguez is on Raw.
And she wrestles on Raw. That's a triple R. There you go.
There you go.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing and Zoe Stark, powerhouse in her own right. She's not quite as big as those other girls, but I'm looking for some lady hoss fight going on here, and I'm hoping I get it. I definitely don't think Rhea's losing though. And I unfortunately, as much as I love Zoe Stark, I think she's eating the pin Saturday night.
And a side note, okay, so Raquel's her real last name is Gonzalez.
Okay.
Which is like with Hercules Hernandez, his real last name was Fernandez, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rick Steiner's real last name is Rex Steiner.
Yeah.
Rex, yeah. It's so messed up. Let's see. Rob, did you say your piece?
Yeah, I did. Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Let's see here. Sorry, my phone just died. Okay. Next up, we got Rey Mysterio defending his United States Championship against Logan Paul. I think this could be the one title change of the evening. I don't know. Logan Paul, I mean, unless he has any commitments coming up, I think, you know, the kid's, he's hot. And they're obviously, you know, going to take him as far as he wants to go. It looks like, obviously, he had a match with Roman Reigns. So, you know, yeah, strap him up. Let him be a jerk about it for a couple of months. I love the idea. But either way, I think it's going to be a fun match because, you know, obviously Logan has shown that he can go. And Ray, if Ray's quarterbacking, then I think everybody's going to be just fine. So, yeah, it's going to be fun, whatever happens. DJ?
Yeah, I agree. This is the one of two titles that I could potentially see changing hands Saturday night. And then actually, this is my number one that I see changing hands. Absolutely no reason in the month of November why we can't have Logan Paul as the champion. And there's no reason why he shouldn't hold that thing until Royal Rumble. You can leave the U.S. Championship on him until Royal Rumble. And, you know, like Rob was saying on DWI last night, he can be on the Impulsive show with that belt sitting right over his shoulder. And like a point I made, if he's the champ, anyone who wrestles him while he's champ is automatically going to benefit from the exposure. Because anybody who follows him that's even remotely interested in seeing what he's doing in WWE is going to watch. And that whoever his opponent is by default gets exposed to just a potential millions of people. I like it. I absolutely like it. And I hate the fact that I want Logan Paul to win the U.S. championship. I absolutely hate myself for that, but I can't deny how awesome this kid is at this WWE wrestling thing and how much of himself he has given to it. Like, he's serious about it. This is not just a thing that he's doing because he can. He's doing it because he wants to.
Yeah, some of the spots he's taken, like, he's, yeah, you're only doing this if you actually love this stuff or you're getting paid an ungodly amount, and I don't think that's the case either. So, sorry, Rob?
Yeah, I think this is the odds-on favorite for it to be a title change. And like I said on DWI, this is the belt to actually put on him because he's up, you know, he's not going to beat Roman or Seth, obviously, and he's not going to beat Gunther. So, and it's time. It's time to put a belt on him because we do. I think we're at the point now where you do need to add a little something to what he's doing because, you know, we've seen him do these matches. We know he can go, and I think we're kind of at a point now where we do need to add something to it. Because other, you know, because after a while it's just, oh, okay, well, Logan's gonna have a match and he's gonna do some crazy stuff. Okay, great.
And you start getting into the okay, why territory. Like, yeah. Why are we doing this? And I think starting off 2024 with Logan Paul wearing a WWE championship of some kind is absolutely great business.
Yeah, and I think and it adds the thing you need to add to what he's doing.
Yeah.
So I think it's a no-brainer that he wins this here. It's just, you know, and again, yeah, I mean, he can lose it at the Royal Rumble. Or, look, if they want to have the one time he wrestles a TV match, right? I mean, whoever would get that belt off of him in the TV match, that would be a big thing for them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's a no-brainer he wins it here.
All right, so penultimate match of the evening, we have Seth freaking Rollins defending his World Heavyweight Championship against the big old jerk Drew McIntyre.
Your favorite person.
I think, yeah, we all know I love Andy. I think Drew is going to take it from Seth. I just don't think it's going to be here. I think we finally get the full heel turn and we get the full like Scottish psychopath again. But this is the stepping stone that gets us there, but it's not the where he wins the belt. Rob.
Okay, I think I agree Drew does not win the title here. And now here's where I'm gonna interject. The briefcase situation needs to be settled. All right, either if he's going to do it and if Damian's going to do it and walk away with the belt, we need to do it here. If he's going to cash it in and fail, I think we just need to do it here. One way or the other. Because, again, like, well, it's like the opposite situation with EO, right? He's got four goons with him. There's no reason why they don't just walk out there and beat the shit out of Seth Rollins and cash in the briefcase.
Yeah, like, why? It's not, and it's also, Seth isn't exactly going to have a parade of people coming to his defense.
Right. And even then, they're outnumbered, right? I mean,
right. Right, so, like,
Sammy's in the building. Cody will be in the building. You know, Jay might happen to be there. But even then, they're still outnumbered 5-4. I mean, you know, I mean, it's, I think it's getting, like I said, it's getting to the point, like with EO, it's getting to the point where it's starting to not make sense. And
also, again, just let's pretend this is a real sport for a minute. You do finisher palooza on poor Seth, and then guess what? You cash in the briefcase, so it's a match. So all 10 of them can come to the ring, and they can't do shit.
That's, well, yeah.
So just, yeah, when you look at it like a sport, it's like, guys, you let's run the play.
And like I said, Ian, whether it's going to succeed or fail, it's, I mean, because he hasn't even tried to cash it in yet, I don't think. Or
he's walked to the ring menacingly a couple of times.
Okay. Well,
he did. Yeah. He's done it to a couple of guys.
It needs to get settled one way or the other. Whatever they're going to do with it, whether he's going to win the belt or not, it needs to get settled. It needs to get settled here because we're having too many of these situations where, you know, where why didn't they come out there and beat the shit out of Seth Rollins? We had it, both the Shinsuke matches on the last two pay-per-views were exactly when they should have done that.
Yeah.
And they didn't walk out.
We had a last man standing match that Seth barely survived, and you got Rhea Ripley in the back going, no, today's not the time. Yeah. Now's not the time. Give me the briefcase. What better time than now? He's half dead. That's exactly the time. You know, right. Fucking Big E came out while Bobby Lashley tweaked his knee. Why? Because it was absolutely the time to cash in. There's blood in the water. Again,
guys, like, you don't have to cash in right away. You know, let Rhea hit him with a riptide. Let Damian hit him with South of Heaven. And then cash in, you know?
And in this case, like, you don't even have to be strategic about it. You have five people. You have a group of five exactly. People. You can walk out there and whatever the hell you want to. Like, you don't have to have any strategy.
I don't think JD McDonough's going to be there. JD McDonough's going to be putting ice on his mouth for meeting a Huluva kick.
And also, we haven't got to the point where, unless you're going to do it here during the cash-in or whatever, and attempted jumping or whatever, nobody's going to attack Rhea. So, you know, again, you have this foolproof, you know, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go directly to the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. and you just haven't pulled the trigger. Why?
Yeah. It's definitely reach shit or get off the pot.
Yeah, and like I said, here. You know, whether they plan on him actually winning the belt or they plan on it failing, you got to go through with the cash-in attempt. You got to do it. I mean, and just get it settled one way or the other, because then that way, obviously, if he wins the belt, then he wins the belt. And if it fails some type of convoluted way, then that, you know, then we get on to the next part of the Judgment Day story.
Let me throw a few things out there. One, let's wipe all that off the table. Let's just say it is a straight up match between Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre. I love Seth. It is historically documented on this podcast. Seth Rollins is my boy. That's my number one guy. I love this run. I love this title reign. I'm glad he got it. I'm glad he got an opportunity to do it. That being said, I have a sentimental place in my heart for Drew McIntyre and a sentimental place for his title reign during the pandemic. I think it flew way below the radar because of the situation we were in. I thought he had an incredible feud with Randy Orton. He had some incredible matches with Bobby Lashley. Like, he was a damn fine champion at a time when WWE needed a damn fine champion. And I want to see what Drew McIntyre looks like as champion in front of an actual crowd. We never got that. You know, so there's a part of me that is a fan very much of wrestling story and a fan of Drew McIntyre that wants to see that. That being said, when we bring back in the nuance of the Money in the Bank cash-in, how apropos would it be if Drew beat Seth and then Damian Priest cashed in on Drew McIntyre that night and the whole of Judgment Day beat him down? Like, how nuts would he go if he finally achieves the thing, wins it, he got what he wanted, and in a breath, it's ripped away from him again?
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. So we're going to move on to the main event of the evening. Roman Reigns defending his title, his undisputed WWE Universal Championship against LA Knight. This program's been a lot of fun. LA has definitely stepped up to the plate. And I think not the sky's the limit, because the limit is whatever's underneath the undisputed WWE Universal Championship, because I don't think he's going to win, but I think he's shown that he can be a player basically anywhere they slot him in. So, and I think this is the final test, because if Roman Reigns can't get a pretty damn good match out of you, then what are we doing here? So, yeah, I look for the match, but I think he's going to deliver. So, and Roman's is going to be his usual goat self, and we're going to have a great damn good time. And LA Knight is going to look up at the lights at the end of the evening. DJ?
This match is odd for me. I like LA Knight. I really do. And there's a small part of me that would not be sad at all if he beat Roman. And I know it's not going to happen. So I'm not saying that's what I'm predicting. I find it odd that they're doing this match already. And that's got me concerned a little bit. And not for LA Knight, but more for Roman Reigns. This is a money match that you could do. You could slow burn this for another year or so. And I know that the payoff is eventually Cody finishing the story and beating Roman Reigns for the, you know, undisputed Universal Championship. But LA Knight is a money match somewhere down the road. I question why. I've talked about this on the show before. Sometimes when you do a match too soon, you take money out of the bag. And I feel like they're taking money out of the bag here. And I'm curious as to why. And I know we've speculated in private chat. Roman took quite a bit of time off over the summer. Like, he was just absent for weeks. And we were all a little concerned that maybe his health was an issue. That's always a concern. And, you know, I wonder if this is a situation where we're not sure if we have a year, 2 years to build this match or to do this match down the road. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So I definitely think Roman leaves with the championship, but I'm curious as to why they're doing this match so soon. And last I checked, wasn't LA Knight a Raw superstar?
No, he's a SmackDown guy.
Is he SmackDown? Why did I think he was on Raw? Oh, probably because he just bounces between both shows.
He came over there when he was doing the thing with the Miz.
Okay, all right. So yeah, that's where I'm at with. Like I said, I just think it's a little odd that they're doing this match now when I think it's one that they could have built and done and made more money off of a year, 2 years down the road.
Well, I mean, maybe it's just the fact that Roman really is going to lose at WrestleMania, and they're like, well, we got to do it now.
Do it now, I mean, I guess, while it means something.
I guess so. I mean, if that's the case, then I would be like, well, I would just wait until Roman wins it back at SummerSlam then. But that's just me. But anyway, Rob, what do you got here?
So I think it's the opposite. I think they're, because in the past, they've been accused of waiting too long to do stuff also. So I think they might just be striking while the iron's hot and, you know, do it now because we're still not sure how long this wave is going to go with LA Knight. I mean, he's not going to be a jobber next week or anything. No, but
right.
I think if you're on the inside there, I mean, you do have to. I mean, those are the type of things you think about. Like do we think that he's going to, if we wait to do this, do we think he's going to be able to maintain this kind of momentum for another 6 months or another year if we don't do anything, if we don't do the big match with him? Because waiting another 6 months or even a year while he, I mean, what's he going to do? He already wrestled Miz. I mean, like, who else is he going to feud with? So spending another 6 months or 8 months or a year kind of holding, you know, just the wave may die down, and it probably will die down a little bit, right? It's hard to maintain that kind of momentum for an extended period of time, which is all the reason why Roman's whole thing is that as remarkable as it is. So I think they're going to do it now because they could strike while the iron is hot. And I mean, if they have no intention of him beating Roman anyway, then they might just be thinking it's better to do it now than the wait. And when the wait may have died down a little bit.
And you see a scenario where Roman doesn't lose, but Roman doesn't win as a way of protecting LA Knight? Because I think I have to feel like a straight up loss after the back and forth they've had over the last few weeks. I think a straight up clean loss for LA Knight may hurt him a little bit.
Yeah,
man. Roman doesn't get to win clean anymore.
Well, no, Roman is a heel champion, and so no. I mean, look. I mean, he didn't beat Sami Zayn. Well, he's not. I mean, it's perfectly fine to not beat LA Knight clean, right?
At the very least, he's gonna have like a Heyman distraction, Heyman breaks out the mace again, or something like that. You know,
something. Yeah, he's not gonna just beat him flat in the middle of the ring. 1, 2, 3.
he doesn't do that to people.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and look, the thing about it, I mean, you have to make, I mean, this is where it falls on LA Knight's shoulders. Like, you have to maintain here. I mean, if as soon as you lose this one match, that's it. I mean, if people are going to give up on you, you know, after losing one match, then this was kind of a fad anyway.
I guess the way to look at it is this is the same LA Knight, and God bless and rest in peace. He survived that program with The Fiend, with Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
And the match itself, I'll die on the hill that Mountain Dew Lights Out match was awesome. I'll defend that match to the death.
There was nothing
wrong. Not just because, I'm sorry.
There was nothing wrong with that match at all, except for that, like afterwards, that stupid thing where Uncle Howdy fell like 50 feet or something. That was,
yeah, that whole part was a little questionable, but
no, Ellie, the feud was all awesome, and that's why I understand not wanting your whole show to be that, but you know, once in a while, every 6 months or what, something wackadoo like that happens. God bless. That's why I watch wrestling.
But that feud in and of itself as a whole was not spectacular. And LA Knight lost the battle, but he recovered from it and managed to do all right for himself. I think if he goes out in a blaze of glory against Roman Reigns, he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I think it's a matter of where does he settle in afterwards.
A little TLC, you could turn him into it wouldn't be my first choice, but you could turn him into the little engine that could against Gunther.
Yeah.
Oh, I think, well, I
you
mean.
You got him to the precipice against Roman Reigns. So, I mean, yeah, if the guy's shown he's talented enough, you could build him back up to that.
And, I mean, I could see him being the guy to beat Logan Paul for the U.S. title.
Sure.
I think, but however this goes, look, I mean, I think we do need to, this is where I think we're us as fans, we need to stop and kind of smell the roses a little bit. This guy, you know, up until he was, for a long time, he was in Impact Wrestling when Impact was in the mud. And, you know, he was in NWA Power for a little while. When he got signed to NXT, a whole lot of you people who love him to death today, and I have not forgotten, a whole lot of you people were really loud on social media saying, why did you sign this guy, Hunter? Okay? A whole lot of you people who are celebrating him today were wondering on social media very loudly, why on earth did you sign this guy for NXT, Hunter? Okay? So to go from that to being in a pay-per-view, and then, you know, then a year ago he was the manager for the Maximum Male Models, right?
Right.
So to go from that to, and then we thought he was going to be dead and buried against The Fiend. And, you know, so to go through all, you know, to overcome from all of that, and here we are in, you know, November of 2023 at this late stage in his career. For him to be on a pay-per-view main event with the biggest star in the wrestling business, like, just everybody, you know, before we worry about what's going to happen to him in the match or what will happen to him next, just stop in a just take a minute and look at the big picture here and be happy for the guy and be happy for how far he's come in a very short time.
One take that I see a lot of, and I, to a small degree, disagree with it. Like a lot of people saying he's not on Roman's level. Okay. As a notable character, one, not because he hasn't been in the business as long. He's obviously he's older than Roman. He's been around for, God, 20 years. He just, to the WWE audience, they're still getting to know him. But I think as a character, what separates the greats from the good is that larger-than-life persona. And he has that persona. He's larger than life. He's out there. He's this grandiose thing. And he's a fucking rock star. And that's what it takes to be a big name in the industry. And I think, you know, while obviously, you know, there's data that you can point to that says, obviously, Roman Reigns is a much bigger star than LA Knight. I think when you look at what's presented on your TV and you just watch that as it is, LA Knight is on Roman's level as an athlete, as a performer, as a talker, as an overall package. And so I disagree with the as a presentation. I'm not talking about social media engagements and online followers and all the other metrics and data that they use. I'm strictly speaking about what's presented on our TV. I think LA Knight has it. Like, he has the it factor. He's a larger than life cartoon character, comic book character. And I dig that. And you know, it's sad that it took him 20 years to get there. I don't know why nobody saw the vision, why nobody took a chance on him 10 years ago, you know, but also looking at the WWE landscape 10 years ago, where do you fit an LA Knight in? It's like, I wish the guy was 10 years younger, because you've got 10 years worth of crap you could do with this guy.
Yeah, for sure. And no matter what happens, I don't think he's going to be hurt one iota. I mean, if the fad, like Rob said, if it fades after this, it was going to fade no matter what. And, but I don't think it's going to, for the record. I think he's going to be just fine. And okay. I believe that concludes our crown jewel portion of the evening.
All right. Well, Jason, thank you for running down the card. We had a good time with that one. Before we move any further here, I want to invite you, encourage you to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can browse, look at, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirts available from your favorite Chair Shot Radio Network podcast, including this very own podcast that you're listening into in your ear holes as we speak, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go check out. We've got a t-shirt there. Pick one up. Starving artists on this show will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. I think we're going to close out the show here. Just, Jason, is there anything going on in WWE or in the wrestling world right now that's got your eye or that you want to talk about or that's, you know, relevant?
No, I think, you know, just when we, I don't know. I think that I really have to look at the whole wrestling landscape and just appreciate where we're at, because there's awesome stuff happening pretty much everywhere. And even with awesome stuff happening, Tony Khan continues to embarrass himself, which is just delightful for me. Even when there's awesome stuff happening for his company and his cousin and wrestlers who work for him that I like. So it's a win-win situation for me. And the most important thing to remember is that Roman Reigns is, in fact, your tribal chief and the big dog of the World Wrestling Federation. That's all I got.
Very important fact right there, my friend. Rob, what about you? Anything newsworthy, noteworthy, or hot take worthy?
Well, I'm very much curious as to what happens next year with Impact Wrestling. They're going back to being TNA. They really look to be on the verge of a real resurgence here. And the company that owns them, Anthem, is is pumping in some money into the production side of it so that they have a better looking show. And cause that has been a drawback of theirs. Even as, you know, they've done some really good booking and they've got some really good wrestlers there, but the show has looked low rent for some time now. So with them getting some more money put into that, I think that's definitely going to help. And the biggest thing they need to do, they need a male wrestler, somebody who they can promote as a big star on the male side of the division. Josh Alexander is a great wrestler. He doesn't have a whole lot going on from a character standpoint.
Sign Trinity's work husband.
Yes, that would be great to see
Dolph. Sign Dolph Ziggler yesterday.
Yes, yep. He's exactly somebody who could come in there and, you know, who could win your world title and have a great run as you and do all of his stuff. That's exactly who I would, because, you know, look, they don't have money to sign a bunch of people, obviously, but they can sign one guy and, you know, pay him enough to make it worth his while. Dolph is exactly, I think, would be right up the alley.
Exactly. I'll say it. If they signed Dolph Ziggler and put the world championship on him, it would automatically be interesting, more interesting than anything the Jacksonville territory has going on. Immediately. And I say that with no hyperbole.
And because, Scott D'Amore, the guy who runs all the stuff there, for me, it's if you're talking about Booker of the Year, it's him and Sean. And yeah, I call it even because Scott has a lot less resources to work with. So, I mean, I got to give him points for degree of difficulty. But, I mean, those two guys are doing the best job of booking stuff, in my opinion, all year. So I'm just really hoping, you know, for the best and hoping that, again, they can land just one guy. Because, you know, they got it, you know, as long as Trinity is there, they're fine on the women's side.
They've got a solid women's division, man.
Yeah.
Between Trinity, Mickey's over there running the show. You got, I think Jordan Grace is still in the mix. You got Deonna Purrazzo. They've got a hell of a knockouts division.
Yeah. And now they just need somebody on the men's side who they can promote as a sports entertainer, basically, you know?
Yeah.
And I think you're right. Dolph would be absolutely wonderful for that.
So here's the question. If they are truly trying to make her, because I've said this on Twitter, or the app formerly known as Twitter, and I've said this in several different private chats and gotten clowned on all of it. I think with the right influx of money, the right influx of the right talent, and the right TV deal, and this is the point that I'm trying to make, what's going to become TNA has a real shot at becoming the number two professional wrestling promotion in the United States, and that would bump Tony Khan's AEW to third. And I keep saying Tony's so worried about chasing WWE and beating WWE, I keep saying he needs to look in the rearview mirror. I'm telling you, nobody buys it, nobody believes me because of the access to the money that he has and the fact that Impact does have limited, you know, TNA and Anthem do have limited resources. There's only so much they're going to do. But I think the key here is a TV deal, because right now TNA/Impact is on its own Anthem-owned network, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Yes,
and I think that limits their exposure.
It does. It really does. And that is the one real obstacle, because if they were on a more well-known cable channel, then I would like their chances a lot better of catching up.
Let me ask you this, because Rob, I know you watch it a bit more, well, obviously quite a bit more than Jason or I probably do. With what they're putting on TV right now, let's say they got a regular TV. Let's say they got NWA's CW deal. Do you think they would bring in viewers that were at least comparable to Collision? Do you think they could draw in 400,000 to 600,000 viewers on CW?
Possibly. I'd have to see what type of numbers CW does in general.
Yeah.
That I don't know. But put it this way, the WoW Women Superheroes that comes on syndicated on weekends gets around between 300,000 and 400,000 usually. So that number is definitely reachable.
Okay.
And the WoW Women's Superheroes doesn't, I don't think, they don't have anybody on that show who is particularly well known, you know. The most well known person they've had on there recently is, I think, Santana Garrett. And, like, she's not really that well known.
Right.
I mean,
she just has the benefit of working for WWE for a period of time.
Yeah. And so they get 300,000 or 400,000 without anybody nationally really well known. I don't see why Impact couldn't get 300,000 or 400,000 in the right television spot, you know, on, like I said, they're on the CW. Yeah. Or if they were syndicated on weekends nationally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see why they couldn't get 300,000 or 400,000, which is, I mean, that's what Rampage does every week on Friday nights. And, you know, on a bad night for Collision, it's they're in 300,000 or 400,000. Yeah.
What would really tell the tale would be that the shows, like the attendance at the shows, you know, and as much as the ratings are important, the real tale is told at the gate.
Yes. And then we're seeing that. I mean, that's really being borne out by what's going on with, you know, with AEW now and what's going on with WWE. Because a lot of those other things, like TV ratings, can be dependent on a bunch of outside factors. Attendance is purely people wanting to pay to come see your show.
Right.
And so, I mean, Impact has been, you know, they've moved up a little bit as far as the buildings they're going to. And, you know, their UK tour stuff has sold really well. So they are, you know, they're kind of gradually climbing back up. You know, they still have a ways to go to get back to the point where they were at their peak, but they are moving up in the world. And like I said, the right spot, I don't see why they couldn't get 300,000 or 400,000 viewers for TV.
And yeah.
Just unfortunately Access TV is like buried down the TV listing. And a lot, like with cable channels in particular, like people don't scroll all the way down, but so far. So it's important for your channel to be like channel 50 or channel 75 and not channel 200. Most people don't scroll all the way down to channel 200. And you know, that's just human nature. That's not even got nothing to do with what's on the channel.
Right, so, right.
So they have to overcome that. And so, yeah, a better channel would definitely put them in a better place. In fact, like Access TV is channel 215 on my cable thing here.
Yeah, I probably would never scroll that far down.
And that's the problem. And that is a problem for them. If they were on channel 60, we'd be having a much different conversation.
Yeah.
But there's no reason why they can't continue to make progress. And put it this way, I think they could become the number two company for the people for us in the bubble. If more people in the bubble start paying attention to them and, you know, more of us continue to talk them up.
Well, and that's kind of the point that I'm trying to make is Tony Khan and AEW keep slipping backwards, and TNA/Impact keeps inching forward. And somewhere there's got to be a meeting. You know, I understand there is still a large gulf between number two and Impact, you know, but over the next year, 2 years, if the current trends continue, because, you know, Tony's the ball, you know, has damaged his goodwill within the bubble. You know, the hardcore diehards that were, you know, ride or die with him from day one are dwindling. That's fact. I see it on my timeline every day.
And because, you know,
that's something interesting. Because, okay, give them an alternative to the alternative, and suddenly after a couple months of people, you know, getting sick of the stuff in Jacksonville, we might be having a different conversation.
Yeah.
Well, because let me just say, I mean, the past few months of Dynamite, it's been bad. Okay. Not bad you know, according to us e-drones, it's just been bad, period.
Okay. Yeah, it's just been bad television from what I understand.
Yeah, it's been bad. And you know what? And, you know, as much as it pains us here at the show to say, some of that is due to the absence of one Mr. Philip Jack Brooks.
Yeah.
We've all said what we wanted to about that guy, but, you know, him being there, absolutely the kind of creative direction things were going in there was actually definitely better with him playing a role in it. And
to be fair, we never once downplayed his importance.
Yeah.
We said what we said about him as a person, but we've never once questioned his importance in the industry.
And you're saying it there now.
Put over Collision, and he was a big part of Collision.
Yeah. So Collision is the one show of theirs I would have watched regularly.
Yeah.
Well, you guys know one of my favorite types of wrestling shows is the ones that feels like, you know, Saturday morning, Saturday night wrestling.
Yeah.
And that's what Collision felt like.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was actually, there were some people there he was doing. You could see his influence on how they were being booked, and now it's kind of fallen by the wayside with some of those folks again. So, but yeah, it's just, I mean, the Dynamite recently has been bad. Again, bad just by any measure. And so there's definitely room for somebody to catch up to them, you know, in the right circumstances. But again, but just like you said, that Tony shouldn't be, you know, obsessed with catching up to WWE. If I were Impact, I would not be obsessed with catching up to AEW. I would just...
No, keep making the moves that you're making and let natural progression happen.
Yeah.
And if it happens, awesome. If it doesn't, awesome. Number three in this game is still pretty damn good.
And I would say they're in a much more manageable number three. Because with AEW, I mean, the wheels could fall off at any moment.
Yeah.
I think Impact is in a much more manageable position now. And they very smartly, they don't poke the bear.
Quick side note, I have it on right now, and this is going to hit the ear kind of funny, but Moose absolutely just laid some girl out with a big boot in a mixed tag team match. That's the kind of stuff they're doing over there. They're already balls to the wall mixed tag. They're not weird about it. It just is what it is.
Yeah, they'll do intergender wrestling over there, which some people like.
And you can have your feelings on it, but also you can't deny that they're doing awesome stuff with this women's division.
Yeah, and well, also when they do the intergender stuff, they don't do silly shit.
They don't
have a 5 foot 100 pound woman doing Canadian destroyers on some 300 pound guy, and
forgive me, I don't know this girl's name, but she's not exactly Alexa Bliss taking this. She looks like she's Dana Perrazzo's size. Who's the other lady in this match?
Okay.
And they just sold it, and it happened, and there you go. We're moving on. Impact's doing some stuff right.
No, I would say the next 12 to 24 months, below WWE, that whole field is going to be interesting to watch over the next year to 2 years. I truly think it is. You've got, and we won't get too far about this. We can talk about this a little bit next week. Whole bunch of people from MLW requesting their releases, Hammerstone, the Fatu. We can get into that more next week.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on below the WWE sphere that I think we could talk about and have a whole discussion on. So let's call the go home there. We can get out of here a little bit early tonight. Gentlemen, it's been a fun show. It's been good to have the three of us back. I always enjoy having, guest hosts on here. Tunney, Ray Cash, always welcome on here. But I like my comfort zone. I like my guys. I like my boys.
Yes,
we've got a good synergy here. And, I enjoy that. And I'm glad to have it back here this week.
It's always fun to see, Kurt Angle or someone put on the vest for the night. Nice. But when you want the triple power bomb, only the triple power bomb will do.
Only the Shield will do.
That's right.
And I'm going to go back around the room here and thank my co-host, starting with from the Rob the Genius podcast, Mr. Rob. Another fun show tonight, sir. Thank you.
Sir, always a pleasure.
And Jason, again, glad to have you back, sir.
Good to be back. Thank you, gentlemen. This is a lot of fun, as always.
Yep, always a good time. And again, I'm DJ. You've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Again, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com. Remember to always use your head. As I always say, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we're out of here till next week.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.